The Bible is very clear that God is going to hold men accountable. Romans 14:12 declares, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God." In the parable of the talents, the Lord of that servant delivered unto his servants his goods. He then departed, the Bible says, for a great while. And after a long period of time, the Bible says, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. John, as he penned the Apocalypse, the Revelation, spoke these words in Romans chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." I don't believe that I have ever found an individual alive who does not believe that there isn't going to be a day of accountability for mankind. The question, however, comes in this age when it comes to accountability. And this question has been asked over and over and over again. What is the age of accountability? What is the age that an individual reaches when God is going to hold that individual accountable for the things that he knows and for the things that he does and the things that he thinks, the things that he says, and all there is about him? When you ask that question, most of the time you'll get this standard answer. An individual reaches the age of accountability when he knows the difference between right and wrong. Now man, if that is not a subjective answer, I don't know what is. Folks, I've seen young people baptized anywhere between the ages of 8 years old and 16 or 17 years old. That's a big gap, is it not? And there is a huge difference in the ages of those individuals, in the understanding of those individuals, in the experience of those individuals, in the knowledge of those individuals. A huge difference between 8 and 16 or 17. What is the age of accountability? I bet you after tonight's lesson that I will not have answered that question for you. Ain't that something? Or if in any way I do begin to draw an answer to that question, I'm certain that there might still be some disagreement. But the point of our lesson tonight is this: accountability is very, very closely tied to what I refer to as knowledge ability. God is going to hold an individual accountable on the basis of knowledge, folks. You cannot have one without the other. And so let's talk for the next few moments about this idea of accountability and knowledge. Point number one, accountability involves first and foremost knowledge ability. I know that's not a word in the dictionary. You won't be able to find it. That's Vic's word. That's in Vic's dictionary. I'll sell you a copy for $50. Knowledge ability. What do I mean by that? I mean by that an individual has the mental capabilities of acquiring knowledge. My friends, Christianity is a religion that is based upon knowledge, is it not? John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My friends, our faith is based upon some knowledge, isn't it? I have to have a knowledge of God. I have to have a knowledge that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. If an individual does not have the mental capabilities, the mental capacities to acquire knowledge, God will not hold that man accountable, folks. There's two large groups that we can place into that category, can't we? One group are little bitty children. They fall into that category. And another group that falls into that category are those who from a very early age have developed a mental disability. They do not have the ability to think. They do not have the ability to reason. They do not have the ability to process information, folks. If God is going to hold an individual accountable, he has to be an individual who can know some things. So what do we say about those individuals? We say about those individuals that they are safe, don't we? They are not individuals who have committed sin in the sight of God. Therefore, they do not stand in a position of needing to be redeemed. They are safe. And Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 14, with regard to children, of such is the kingdom of God. And he said, suffer little children, and forbid them not that they should come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. It's right here that individuals begin to ask the question, isn't it? Well, if infants and toddlers are not accountable to God because of their inability to acquire knowledge at such a young age, at what age does a person stand accountable before God? I don't know the exact age. It's just that simple. But I do know this. I do know that there have been many times when we have baptized individuals who had no reason for being baptized. They did not have the knowledge that they needed to become Christians, folks. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Is that all you have to be able to say in order to become a Christian? What's the plan of salvation? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Folks, I can teach that to a 2-year-old. Did you know that? I can get a 2- or 3-year-old down here in a pew packers class, and in the course of a week or two, I can ask that question, and all of them will shout, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And all the parents are just beaming from ear to ear. That's my kid. But you don't want him to be baptized, do you? You see, that knowledge in and of itself is not enough. And get this, there is other knowledge that is absolutely essential, essential before a person is ready to be baptized. What are you talking about, Vic? What about the concept of sin, folks? Does a person need to understand that concept? Does an individual need to understand that sin is the transgression of God's law and that I have transgressed, I have violated the will of God? Absolutely. You need to understand the consequence of sin as far as God is concerned. The wages of sin is what? Death. I deserve to die because of the sins that I have committed against God. He needs to understand the concept of blood, folks. Doesn't he? Isn't that part of the salvation process? The blood of Jesus Christ. What's that got to do with my salvation? Life is in the blood, is it not? And when Jesus shed His blood, He gave His life. He gave the very thing that God required of me. He was a substitute for me on the cross of Calvary. You see, that needs to be understood. The other day, I had a young lady in my office. She's thinking about becoming a Christian. And I asked her the question, what does it mean to you when you say that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? She had never been asked that question before. Oh yes, she'd been asked the question, do you believe that He's the Son of God? But she'd never been asked the question, what do you mean by that? And guess what? She sat there like most people, stunned. Didn't know what to say. Folks, how can you confess something you don't even know what it is? You see, there is a knowledge that an individual must obtain before he can become a Christian. What does it mean to repent of your sins? What does that mean? How can you do something that you don't know what it means? Repent! Oh no, you can't do it if you don't know what it means. What about the subject of baptism, folks? Do you need to know something about baptism? Do you need to know what it is? Do you need to know the element of baptism? Do you need to know the purpose of baptism? Absolutely, you've got to have some knowledge. Do you need to know about the authority of Christ? Yes. Do you need to know about the kingdom of Christ? That to which our Lord is going to add you upon your obedience to the gospel? Absolutely. Folks, those are foundational elements of knowledge that you must have before you can become a proper candidate for baptism in the sight of God. And an individual has to have the mental capacities to understand those things. And sometimes children at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, guess what? They don't have the capacity to understand those issues yet. They just don't. They haven't been taught them well enough. And we need to instill those into individuals. You see, here's my deal. I do not want anybody baptized in their ignorance. I do not want anybody, when they get a little bit older, to look back upon what they did in obedience to the gospel and say, you know, I don't think I really knew what I was doing. I don't want that. If an individual is going to obey the gospel, I want them to know that they know what they're doing. Don't you? Amen. And I surely don't want anybody to be baptized again in order to be safe. You ever heard of that? Well, you need to do it again just to be safe. What? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Show me where that is taught in this book. Let's do some rebaptizing to be safe. We baptized you the first time for the remission of sins. We're going to rebaptize you to be safe. That's taught in this book, isn't it? Folks, it's not here. If that person is going to be baptized the second time, it's because this one wasn't valid. It's because he's still lost in his sins and that he needs to be forgiven of his sins, because that's the purpose of baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 verse 38. Folks, there is a knowledge ability that a person must have in order to properly obey the gospel. Point number two. Accountability involves knowledge availability. There you go. There's a big word, isn't it? What do we mean by that? We're talking about those individuals who, yes, they have the mental capacity to acquire knowledge, but is that knowledge available to them? There's got to be some knowledge availability for individuals. Now, who are we talking about now? We're talking about those people we talked about this morning, aren't we? Those individuals who are living in the deep, dark recesses of the rainforest. You hear about them all the time, right? What about those people? They've never had the gospel delivered to them. They've never heard the gospel. What's going to happen to them? Well, I'll grant you, knowledge availability is a very important aspect of accountability. But watch this. If a person has the mental capacity to know truth and that truth is not available to him, is he still going to be held accountable to God? Yes, he sure is. My friends, ignorance is no excuse as far as God is concerned. Now, when you hear that statement, that kind of puts you in a tailspin, doesn't it? Does me. I mean, I'm just a human being. And if I've never had knowledge available to me, how in the world can I be held accountable for that? You see, that almost doesn't seem fair, does it? You see, there's a couple of things that we oftentimes forget. One of them is this. Those individuals in those deep, dark recesses of the rainforest who live 4-5 times around the world that nobody has ever gotten to, guess what? They can know God exists. Can't they? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Now listen, so that they are without excuse. There is not a person who lives on this globe, folks, who has the excuse of not knowing God. All he has to do is look at the beautiful creation of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. They can know that a God exists. Now watch this. If you know that a creator God is out there, surely He didn't put me here for no reason, right? And I want to what? I want to know His will. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 7:17. One of the problems that we have today is individuals are not seeking the will of God. They're not desiring the will of God. They're not craving the will of God. These individuals can know He exists, and if they desire to know His will, they can know of the doctrine, the Bible says. But there's another point that we need to emphasize, and that point is this. Way back there in the first century, God gave a command to 12 men and an apostle named Paul, did He not? Does anybody remember the command? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. In Colossians 1 verse 23, Paul makes a very telling statement. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which have been preached of me unto every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Folks, every one of those apostles were assigned a certain segment of this world to go out and preach to. I want you to go sometime and I want you to look at the section of the world the Apostle Paul covered in his missionary journeys. It was a massive, huge section of the world, was it not? It was almost the entire Greek world at that time. One man. What about the others? What were the other 12 doing? Nothing. Nothing. Folks, they were doing what they were instructed to do as well. And if they completed what God told them to do, as Paul did, then guess what? The entire world was evangelized. The entire world heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen to me. If there are individuals today who have not heard the gospel of Christ, it's not God's fault. It's their forefathers' fault way back there. They either did not adhere to it back then, and therefore they stifled the continuance of it in the future, or they did accept it, and somewhere along the way their ancestors rebelled against it, and it is no longer available to those people. My friends, there is a way that God can hold these people accountable in His sight. And He does, doesn't He? Did you hear the reading that was read just a moment ago? This is one of the greatest things about God. He's going to hold individuals accountable who do not have His will available to Him, who do not know. That's what the Bible says. But guess what? Our God is a merciful God. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, he shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that did not know, but did things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. You see, God is a God of justice. He is a God of wrath. He is a God of accountability. And my friends, those individuals who do not know, He will hold accountable. But His mercy will be involved in that judgment process. Point number three. Accountability involves knowledge adaptability. Boy, there's a good one too, isn't it? I got my thesaurus out, and I started looking for these A words. Knowledge adaptability. Here's an individual. He has the mental capacity to know the truth. And now he comes into contact with that truth. It's been preached to him. He's been given a Bible. He's been given a tract. He's been given a video. Whatever it is, he has now come into contact with truth. Now it is his responsibility to adapt that truth to his life, doesn't he? What is that called? Obedience. That's all that is. Who is a wise and faithful servant, the Bible asks? Whom his Lord shall... Or who his Lord shall make ruler over his house to give them meat in due season. Listen to him. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Luke 24, 45 and 46. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, he shall find what? Just sitting around hoping he's going to be saved. No. That servant whom his Lord shall find so doing. Doing. My friend, if you and I have the ability to learn truth, if the truth has been made available to us, you had better adapt that truth to your life. Remember what we read a while ago in Luke 12, verse 47? And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with what? Many stripes. That concept of justice, that concept of vengeance, that concept of righteousness as far as God is concerned, understands exactly what you and I know, can know, and have come into contact with. That's scary, isn't it? And God will hold us accountable with regard to the level of knowledge that we could have and should have acted upon. The Bible says in Matthew 11 that Jesus began to upbraid those cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Folks, those are cities that existed in Palestine in the days of Jesus' ministry. Woe unto you, he says. For if the mighty works which have been done in you would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. And I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Folks, that tells me there are degrees, there are levels of punishment in hell. And those who know, those who should know, those who should obey, and those who don't are going to have a more severe punishment resting upon their head. Listen to what he goes on to say. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted up unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you would have been done in Sodom. Oh, we know about those cities, don't we? If the mighty works which have been done in you would have been done in Sodom, listen to him, it would have remained unto this day. Isn't that something? And I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Wicked, corrupt, vile cities. Cities filled with homosexuality and all forms of perversion. Cities that had absolutely no reverence for God or man. And yet God tells Capernaum, Capernaum, it's more tolerable for Sodom than it is for you in the place called hell. Why? Because they did not adapt to the knowledge that was given unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, here's something that's scary. Most of the people that come into this audience fall into this category of individuals, don't they? Most people who come into this building, they have the ability to know the truth. Most people who come into this building, they have truth made available to them through the pulpit in Bible classes. And now it is their responsibility to act and obey those things that are taught. And if they do not, Sodom will be in a better place in hell than they will. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Point number four. Accountability involves knowledge animosity. Accountability involves knowledge animosity. Jesus told some Jews in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What'd you say, Lord? I said, you've got to continue in my word. Do you know what that means? I got to live the truth today. I got to live the truth tomorrow. I got to live the truth the next day. I got to live the truth if I'm 95 years old, 96 years old, 110 years old. Got a friend in Brooklyn, just fell, broke his hip. He's 103. He obeyed the gospel at 97. Guess what, folks? He's got to abide in truth if he expects to be saved, doesn't he? And there are individuals who have the mental capacity to accept truth. They've had truth made available to them. At some point in their life, these individuals accepted that truth and they obeyed that truth, but for some reason or another, they developed an animosity toward it and they have fallen away from that truth. But if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are go back to the world and are again entangled therein, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2:20-22. Did you hear what he just said? It's better for you never to have known the way of righteousness than if you're going to know it and then forsake it. It baffles my mind to see individuals faithful for a period of time, loving the Lord, enjoying the worship, working hard for the cause of Christ, and then a few years later, all of a sudden, they're not faithful anymore. Folks, you don't want to get in that state. You're going to be held accountable, and it's going to be worse than if you'd never, ever, ever known the truth. That's a scary thing for us in here, isn't it? Because you want to know what? Most of us have already done the first three things, haven't we? We can know the truth. It's been made available to us, and we've obeyed it. You turn from that, folks, God will hold you accountable. So there's four areas of accountability, aren't there? Knowledgeability, knowledge availability, knowledge adaptability, and knowledge animosity. All of those are involved in God holding men accountable. But I find it interesting that accountability is always tied to what? It's always tied to knowledge. Always. There's the key, folks. You can ask me from now to doomsday, how old is a person before he reaches the age of accountability? When he meets the requirements of knowledge, folks, that's when he becomes accountable to God. Now here's the scary part. If truth comes your way, and you have the ability to accept it, you better accept it and you better live it with every fiber of your being from now till death. Because if not, God will hold you accountable. Do you need to obey the gospel of Christ? You know the plan. You've heard it 1,000 times. Have faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess His precious name and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. Simple plan, isn't it? Remember what I said. You have the mental capacity to understand that. It's been made available to you. Now it's your time to do what? Adapt that to your life. Dear Christian, what about you? Have you developed a little knowledge animosity? Have you been a little bit rebellious to the truth? Have there been places in your life where you've sinned? Do you need to repent? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?